thankful for this opportunity to gather together in your name, Lord, with believers of like precious faith, Lord. And we ask, God, that you would bless each one this morning. God, you know their needs. We ask, God, that you'll minister to those needs, Lord, this morning. Lord, anoint us, dear God, to speak your word, dear God, to not, Lord, hold back on anything, but, Lord, to give it all that, Lord, that you've laid on our heart. And I pray, God, for Liddy Hope this morning, you'll touch her, dear God, and heal her of whatever the causes this blood pressure may regulate out, Lord, Father. And if there's a cause that can be took care of by the doctors, that they'll find what it is, dear Lord. And I pray for Nate, you'll help him, dear God, while he's at home with the baby. And Lord, I pray that you'll bring Liddy Hope safely home out of the hospital and back home, Lord, to be with her children and husband, Lord. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory of God. Amen. While you're standing, I'd like to read from the scripture, Luke chapter 14. We read from here. We've preached on this a couple of times, and I want to continue on with it, the invitation. And we'll read from Luke chapter 14, begin at verse 16. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. And the first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee have me excused. And the other said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go ye into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Amen. You may be seated. As you could see as we read along together in the scriptures, this is a parable that Jesus gave. It's all in red print in your Bible. So it's Jesus speaking. And shouldn't be anything he said in here that should offend anybody, because it was Jesus saying it. Amen. And I'm just going to kind of point at some of the things he said, and we'll go from there. Amen. But we see that they were given an invitation. I'm going to do a little bit of background. I'll do a little bit of review on some of the things, because it's been a couple of weeks since I preached. I was out sick last Sunday, and so the last time I spoke was on Memorial weekend, and so it's been a couple of weeks, and then some were out on Memorial weekend, so I'll just do a little bit of review. But we see here by the scripture that there was an invitation given for a supper. And Jesus is telling a parable, and the parable, what it's speaking of the gospel, an invitation being given to receive the gospel, to come and eat of the supper of the Lord. And so it's not just about somebody going somewhere and eating meat, potatoes, and beans. It's actually talking spiritually is what Jesus is speaking. Anytime Jesus gave a parable, he would use the natural to give a spiritual understanding of something. And so here they're being invited to supper, and like many who are invited to receive the gospel, they're coming up with excuses on why they can't do it. And if you realize, their excuses is all about justifying themselves. This is why I can't do it. Have me excused. This is their justification for what their reason, their excuse for why they can't come and partake of this supper. But you realize that the man who gave the invitation for the supper, he's not accepting any of their excuses. So nobody's getting off. They got an invitation. If they rejected it, then he said, you're not going to get to eat of my supper. In other words, you reject my invitation, guess where you're not going? Heaven. And so there's only one other place to go. And I know today in funerals and everywhere else, nobody ever speaks about hell. Because I guess nobody who dies or whoever's lived, nobody goes to hell anymore. Everybody, no matter what kind of life they live, when they die, they go to heaven. That's not scriptural. In the Bible, there's a place called hell. And it was created for the devil and his angels. And those that won't receive the invitation, they're lost. And that's the only other place they got to go. Now realize, these ones that received the invitation, they couldn't say, well, I got an invitation to go over to David Horner's house, but I don't want to go there. I think I'll go to somebody else's house and eat. But that's the way a lot of people are with the gospel. God gives an invitation for the gospel, and they decide, I don't want to go to his house and eat. I'm going to go to some other house and partake. But you can't do that. It's not acceptable. And God's give out a message in this last day, an invitation to meet Jesus Christ. And you're not going to be able to go to some other house or some other church and get it. You've got to go where the invitation is being given for. God gave an invitation out in this last day, and he didn't give it out from the Catholic Church. So you can't go to the Catholic Church and get it. I'm sorry if this hurts somebody's feelings. He didn't give the invitation out. Go be a member of a denomination. They ain't got it. Why? Because they left the word. They had the invitation when the message came out, and they rejected it. Just like it's happened in every age, when God has opened the door and shown the light. Then Luther remembered God shone the light in his day. And so Luther came out of the Catholic Church and it started along. And you know, the greatest thing Luther had to overcome was all the fanaticism of people that said they believed what Luther was preaching but made up their own ideal of it. Hallelujah. Then Martin Luther left the scene, and the people said, well, this is what we believe, and they organized around it. And it became known as the Lutherans. Then John Wesley came on the scene, began to preach the message of his day, the light of his hour. And there was people that came out of the Lutherans and other places that come out and began to follow John Wesley. They were following the light as God was shining it at that time. And then God took John Wesley off the scene. And there was people that formed an organization around that and said, this is what we believe and that's the end of it. And they become the Methodists. And then the Pentecostals came along. And there was people came out of the others and come to be part of the Pentecostals and the movement of the Spirit. When the gifts were restored into the church. And they moved along with that. That was the light of the hour. Until God began to shine more light. And as God began to shine more light, they rejected the further light that was being shined. And they made an organization. And they've got oneness and two-ness and three-ness and all these other things, you know, isms. And they've created these organizations and denominations. And you got to be part of their organization or their denomination or you won't make it. But God moved on and left them just like he did in every age. You can't organize God. You can't bring an organization or denomination and fence God off. You can't draw people out. But people draw themselves out. And they make excuses Well, we can't believe that such stuff. You know, he taught William Branham, you know, he taught about serpent seed, that crazy doctrine. So that's their excuse. Or why can't they come to church over here? What's their excuse? Well, I just don't know about that old Jerry Browning. I don't know if I like him. So-and-so said, you know, he done this or that or treated him this way or that. And I just don't, and I went and heard him, and I just don't like the way he preaches. Sorry. You think there was people who didn't like the way Jesus preached? Well, it's biblical. There was one time they picked up stones to stone Jesus because they didn't like the way he was preaching. And he blinded their eyes and walked right out of their midst. And there was times Jesus didn't like the way they were living and the way they were treating his church. So he went in and plaited a whip and said, my house is to be a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. What they had done, they got in there and they were trying to make a profit off of selling these animals to the people so that they'd have to bring them up for a sacrifice. And that's why Jesus said, you turn this whole thing into a business. You made it a den of thieves. And he took the whip and he asked them politely, would y'all please leave? No, he whooped them out of there. He turned over their tables, the Bible said. He kicked them over and he took the whip and ran them all out of there. You say, well, you know, sweet Jesus don't do that anymore. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. You know, some years ago, I had someone that was coming to church here, and they had a real lustful spirit on them. And she was trying to entice different ones of the men. And it was really getting to me. And I went and talked to a minister friend of mine that had been preaching a whole lot longer than I had. And I had known him and had a lot of confidence in him. He was over in North Carolina, Brother Dan Daisley. And I talked to him and I said, here, I got a problem I need to talk to you about. He said, brother, what you do is you get up and you hammer that thing from the pulpit until either she gets delivered or leaves. He said, one way or the other, you're going to get rid of that devil. Either she'll get delivered from it or she'll leave and take it with her. So that's Jesus taking a whip and whipping people out. My house would be called a house of prayer, and you're making it a house of lust. I tell you what, we got enough to face and go through in this world without it being in a church. Hallelujah. Had some folks here, you know, that was part of the assembly for a while, and here they was committing adultery with one another. And the truth came out about it. And I talked to them. And, you know, before long they left. And they all left. And a couple of them one family went up to a church in Kentucky and began to tell all kinds of lies about me. And they said, Brother Jerry watches that old show Sex in the City. I don't even know. I don't. I know it by name. But I said, when they come to me and somebody asked me, I said, they was the ones having sex in the city. Yeah. They were the ones committing adultery, not me. So I don't know why they went up there and told such lies as that. But you know what it is? It's an excuse. Why they don't got to come here. Something's wrong down here. And they even called up and chewed one of our sisters out over some kind of thing. You know, and that's the reason they couldn't come here anymore is because we had problems. Well, I'm here to tell you, we didn't have them any longer. God sometimes has got to clean things out. And some folks don't want to hear it preached. But I'll tell you what, the God's house is the house of judgment. We come here to be judged by his word now so that we won't have to stand in judgment on the judgment day. I think there's a lot of people that don't even believe there's coming a judgment day. But let me tell you something. It's in the Bible. There is coming a day of reckoning. There's coming a day when they'll be asked to give reason on why they rejected the invitation of God. They're going to have to give an answer for it. Often wondered, you know, in the Bible where it said Jesus given the time of when they would come before him. And they would say, have we done all these mighty works in your name? And gave excuse, you know, for themselves. And I thought, how could they have such gall to stand up there on the day of judgment and offer excuses? It's because they're going to be asked to. They're going to be asked, give me a reason why you couldn't accept my invitation. Give me a reason why you rejected the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're going to be asked to give a reason. They're going to be asked to give a reason why you couldn't go down there to that little church. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I don't like that invitation. So I'll just make my own supper. And I'll just sit at home and I'll form my own church and I'll listen to tapes. I'm sorry, that wasn't the invitation. People go around saying, I believe Brother Branham to be a prophet. I believe you to be a prophet. And sit at home and listen to a tape. They obviously don't believe him because he never taught that. He taught to go to church. But you know why they have trouble going to church? Because they don't want to part with their money. They want to live the way they want to live, but some of them have problems. But if they form their own church, they won't have to give tithing. They won't have to give offering. Say, I don't like that. I'm sorry, it's the truth anyway. You might as well try it on. And when they refuse the seal of God, they receive the mark of the beast. That's what the Bible says. Let me tell you something. The mark of the beast, as I've said before, ain't the barcode on a can of beans. The mark of the beast ain't some number physically on your hand or on your forehead. The mark of the beast ain't the vaccine for the coronavirus. They are not putting a chip in you when they give you a vaccine. And don't give me that garbage that Brother Branham taught against it, because that's a lie. He dealt with it when there was polio to be dealt with, and he encouraged the people, go get vaccinated for this. The mark of the beast is a doctrine. It is believing the opposite of what God has given. Amen. You accept the seal of God, then you're sealed. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed until the day of redemption, which means the day of the body change. Once you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the seal of the Holy Ghost, you're sealed. That's it. It's a finished work. And you can't lose it, because the Bible says you can't. But to reject it, because the Bible said all that would not receive the seal of God received the mark of the beast. And the full manifestation of that is just around the corner. They're already receiving the mark. But the manifestation of the son of perdition, or the man of perdition, as the Bible talks about, it's just around the corner. When Satan will be revealed in man. It's in the book of Revelations. I know there's a lot of churches and folks out there don't understand it. I'm not one of them. There's coming a time of a transformation of the body. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which alive remain shall be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. Receive a body change. Why is it? Because we're in a body that feels sickness now. We're in a body that grows old now. We're in a body that dies now. But when God created the first man, he said, "Don't you can eat of any tree of the garden except the tree of knowledge, good and evil. The day you eat thereof, that day you'll die." And there's never been a man who lived one full day in God's time, because the Bible says 1,000 years is as one day to God. Says it over in the book of Peter. 1,000 years. Methuselah came the closest. I think he lived about 969 or something close to that. But there's never been a man to live 1,000 years. But there's coming a time, the Bible talks about, of a millennium, where man's going to live 1,000 years and prove to the devil that he can live one full day without sin. And the reason man will be, and the Bible says that Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. And what it's talking about, he's going to be bound by a chain of circumstance, being as the sons and daughters of God are going to be in new bodies. Bodies that don't die, bodies that don't get sick. Back the way it was at the beginning. Restoration. I will restore, saith the Lord. And he's going to restore it. When there's people receiving that body change again, ready to rapture out of here, there's going to be others that have rejected the invitation, and they're going to get left behind. What a sad time. That don't make me happy. It makes me happy I'm going and going to get changed, but it don't make me happy anybody's going to miss it. But I can't help it. It's seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I can't save somebody. If Jesus Christ was here this morning, he couldn't no more save you than nothing, because he already done it. It's a finished work. People just had the invitation has already went out. People just need to receive him. Well, I don't know if I like that invitation. Look at the condition that the world has got into today. Sodomite condition. And they want you to accept it. Make it acceptable. And think of all the craziness. Boys don't know if they're boys, and girls don't know if they're girls, and they got young ones that's too young to even be thinking about such thing, and the mom and dad saying, "Well, he's really a little girl." What in the world's wrong with mommy and daddy? The world's becoming insane. Why? Because they've rejected the gospel. Brother Branham said, I can't remember the year or the time, 1956, I believe, or something like that, said, they'll either receive, America will either receive or reject the gospel this year. And they rejected it. He said, there's nothing left now but judgment. Look at the way America's going. Such a sinful, corrupt nation. And then, you know, they had these mass shootings, which, friends, I'm for doing something to stop it. I'm for that. But here recently, somebody that was supposed to be somebody, you know, I guess in Hollywood, whatever, they blamed it on the Christians. It's in the news. I listen to a radio show every morning. It was in the news. This woman, you know, supposed to be somebody, she blamed it on the Christians, all these guns and mass shootings and things. You say, what's your point? The point is, friends, they're starting to point more and more against the Christians. This nation at one time used to be a Christian nation, but it's leaving that. The politicians are leaving that. Tennessee came out with new license plates. I was surprised that they give you an option if you want on your license plate, "In God We Trust." I went into the license plate bureau and had somebody in front of me. They asked him, said, "Do you want the plate with 'In God We Trust'?" He said, "Yes, I do." But see, the Bible talks about there being virgins. And it talks about there being 10 virgins. There's 5 wise and 5 foolish. Another parable that's in red letter in your Bibles. And said those that were virgins that had oil in their lamps, which the oil represented the Holy Ghost. They had the Holy Ghost. But there were some that were living good moral lives. But they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They didn't have any oil in their lamp. And then the cry goes out. "Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go ye out to meet him." And the 5 wise rose up and trimmed their lamps and got ready to go meet him. And the foolish virgin said, wait a minute. Why, we ain't got no oil in our lamps. Said, "Give us some of your oil." And they said, "No. We can't do that, lest we not have enough." That's the parable, how it goes. But the thing about it is, friends, it wouldn't matter how much of the Holy Ghost some other person had, they couldn't give it to you, because they didn't get it from somebody, they got it from Jesus. So you got to go to the same place that everybody else goes to get it. It's got to come. It's a free gift. You don't got to do anything but accept it. You know, I get these things in the mail all the time. Come down and hear our sales pitch, and you can have a free meal at Colton's. Well, I've always been taught there was no free lunches. So I don't go for them things, because I'm not going to sit there and listen to their sales pitch about whatever that stuff is, sharing something at a beach or something somewhere, timeshares. I'm not going to listen to that or any of the other stuff. But that ain't the way this is. See, this is an invitation that's been given out, and God said the Holy Ghost was free. In his word, he said it was. It's a free gift. It said, repent and be baptized. You know what repenting and be baptized is? That's part of receiving it. That's showing you want it. And when you've done that, it said, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Not you're going to be rewarded with it. No, it's a gift. You don't got to do anything but accept it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Today is the day of salvation. And our friends, listen, God sent a message in this end time, and he vindicated that message with the supernatural. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We've reached that time of the great falling away. You watch people left and right falling away from the end time truth, walking away. Next time you see a picture of them on the internet, they're sitting out somewhere having a beer. Yeah. They walked away from the truth. They walk away and say, well, we got a different Jesus than you got. You say, oh, they don't say that. Tell me. There was one young man. It was his grandfather said something to him about what they were doing and one another, and he said, well, my Jesus ain't your Jesus. That's what he told him. I know this for a fact. And so he left the message. And he moved out to some other state. And he started going to some other church. I know some of this information, because it's coming from my own family. And now they don't go to church at all. See pictures of them and their kids and then what they got into and what they're doing. I can't believe it. But then I can. Because when you walk away from the truth, you've just invited the devil in to have free reign. Second Thessalonians, let's go back to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now notice what this is saying here. For them to be saved, there's a truth. And they've got to receive that truth. But what this scripture is saying is they rejected it. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So God has sent them a strong delusion. And we know the Bible said that in the last days, it'll be so close that it would deceive the very elect if possible. Now you tell me what gets closer than to people going around saying they believe this message but don't live this message. What gets closer? Pentecost ain't close. Catholics ain't close. Pentecost not close. What's close? So close that it would deceive the very elect if possible. People who claim to be message believers. But what are they doing? They're rejecting God's word. So, oh, no, they're not. They're listening to it. Tell me one place the prophet ever said, now, when I leave here, y'all take my tapes and you gather around them and you just listen to this. Tell me one place that he ever said, God's done away with the fivefold ministry because he sent me. He never did. Matter of fact, he said just the opposite. So it didn't leave you to guess. Well, we'll just follow Joseph. He has given them over to a strong delusion. And the prophet of God said they'd believe a lie and they would think they were right and be damned because they've received a lie. truth was set before them, and they walked away from it, left it. And now they've been given over to a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned with it. The Bible said that he would deceive all, A-double-L, all, upon the face of the earth whose names were not written under the seals. They're being deceived. And they think they're right. But the problem is, they're not going to get the Holy Ghost. Because they're not coming the Word way. What? All because they believe, well, something's wrong with this church over here, and something's wrong with that church over there. And I can't go to Brother Donnie's church, and I can't go to Brother Tim Pruitt's church, and I can't go to Jerry Browning's church, and I can't go to Samuel Browning's church, and I can't go to Brother Ray Erickson's church, and I can't go to this church or that church, so I'm going to form my own church. They'll have to give an account on the day of judgment. I'm sorry. This is not my opinion. This is the Word of God. This is the message of the hour. Go home and listen to the message of, is your life worthy of the gospel? And you'll see where I've been preaching from. Is your life worthy of the gospel? And you'll see where I've been preaching from. Where I got the inspiration to preach on the invitation. Go back home and listen to the first seal again. See what he says about the mark of the beast. See what he says about rejecting the message of the hour. Listen to the message of indictment. Here's what he says in the message of indictment. Just a modern striptease on the street, singing choir, cigarette smoking, telling dirty jokes, three or four husbands, 6-1, singing the choir because they got a voice, you poor, intellectual, spiritually deprived, reject upon your own grounds. You read the same Bible that any other man can read, but you've turned down the Spirit of God till the Bible says you're given over to a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned by it. You actually believe that you're right, and the Bible says that you would believe it and be damned by the same lie that you believe to be the truth. Therefore, I indict you by the Word of God. You are teaching the people an error and crucifying the principle of Christ, a holiness and life above, that the people might walk on the street and be a different person. That's an indictment. Reject. When God spoke in the days of Noah and gave the people an invitation to come get on board the ark. There's coming a rain. They didn't believe it. Water's going to fall out of the sky. They didn't believe it. You see, up until that time, the Bible teaches that the water, the earth was watered by a mist that rose up from the ground. So when Noah said water's going to fall out of the sky, they thought he was crazy. And he gave them invitation. There's coming a great flood. And I'm building a big boat here that you can get on and be saved. And they laughed him to scorn. Then there came a time when God told Noah, said, get on board the lifeboat. And so he got on board. And when he did, the Bible said, God shut the door. And then it sat there for 7 days without rain. And you imagine during that time, they said, look at that old nut. He's locked himself up in that big old contraption he's built. Five things are big. It's so heavy. If there was to come a flood, that thing would sink. Oh, no, it wouldn't, because it was built according to the word of God. I want you to know something, friends. One of these days, I'm taking a flight out of here. And what I'm taking a flight on is being built by God. It's his word. And he was giving out invitations, but they wouldn't accept it. Then there come a day where the water started falling out of the sky. We'll believe you now, Noah. It was too late. Brother Bram said the third pool was in action. Said he was, when the door shut, then Noah was preaching to the eternally lost. They didn't have a chance then to get saved. Brother Bram says there's coming a day, one of these days, the last trump of God's going to be sounded, and the Bible is going to lay closed on the pulpit, and then people's going to want to come and say, I want some of that oil, but there ain't going to be nobody around. The last sermon's going to be preached, and it's going to be done. God's going to come and catch away those that are ready to go, those that have received his invitation, those that's got a ticket in their hand. Watch when them foolish virgins go for the oil. Watch when they go after to get the Holy Ghost. Watch when the others start to go after getting the Holy Ghost. Well, all of a sudden, we believe. Why we've got it, you'll find out. They're going to find out. It's a shame, people. And then they're going to wonder what happened. Well, I'll tell you what happened. That old crazy loser church over there in Dixon on Fifth Street went in the rapture. That's what happened. The bride around the world is going to go up in the rapture. It ain't just here in this town. It's all over the world. This ain't a special place where the things that's happening here that only happens here. It's happening in other towns too. It's happening in other places. Where God's placed a light beacon and the people are rejecting it. One day, I won't be here to open the church door. And you won't be here to come in. We're going to be gone. Taking a flight out of here. And then the Bible says that all that were left on the earth, the dragon rose up to make war against them. What, watch them that's left here on earth, what they'll go through with. They'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. For the dragon, Rome, spurted water out of his mouth to make war with the remnant of the women's seed that was left upon the earth after the bride was selected and took out. And the dragon made war on the remnant that didn't want to come in. And they were hunted down. Amen. And the real church can't go through that because they're done under the blood of Jesus Christ. We'll be gone when that happens. Look, friends, tribulation time is coming. I don't want to go through that. I want to be in the rapture, don't you? I want to leave out of here. I ain't got nothing that I own that I can't leave behind. And I'm going to a place that's a whole lot better. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know how long I sung. I guess I didn't sing you off long. I'm not used to singing and preaching. So I don't know when I started preaching. And I've got a lot more, but I think I'm going to save it. And, but they've been give over to us. There's people that is give over to a strong delusion. They believe they're right. They believe they're getting saved. But they're getting saved and there's something that's not true. So they're not getting saved. They're coming in under a lie. And the prophet of God said that they wanted a strong delusion. They didn't want the truth. They didn't want to come the way that God was giving it. They wanted a strong delusion. So God gave them one. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, to have been here today in your house, to have heard from the word of the Lord. I ask, God, that you would bless your people now today. May we take these things that, Lord, have been preached today very serious. Lord, I pray, God, again, Lord, for Liddy Hope in the hospital, you touch her and bring her out, Lord. And I ask, dear God, you go with each one today, dear God, as they go their separate ways, as they go to their place to have their dinners and to have fellowship and be with family or whatever they've got planned for today. Be with them, Lord. Help them this coming week, Lord, as many of them go back to work, dear God. I pray you help them. God, you know their needs, and I pray you'll minister to those needs, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name.